Yeah, it's a great pleasure to welcome Leslie Loco. Leslie was the founder and director of the Graduate School of Architecture at the University of Johannesburg and the dean of the Spitzer School of Architecture at City College in New York. But of course, she's continuing with her academic projects after the New York experience with a really exciting new project, an independent school of architecture in Accra, Ghana, which is called the African Futures Institute. Leslie is not only an academic, she's an architect and quite a unique combination, a novelist. Born in Scotland, but growing up in Ghana, she received her first architecture degree at the Bartlett in London and then earned her doctorate from the University of London later. But already then, as a student, she began an anthology that has come to define some of the interests, specifically some of the writing and researching on race and its relationship to the built environment. It's a book called White Papers, Black Marks, which was published in 2000. So for around more than 10 years, you were fully involved and submerged in writing and publishing 11 bestsellers, novels, but still with a really a strong foot in architectural discourse, and then returning to academia full-time in 2014. It's also, I think, important, besides the writing in terms of novels, is certainly also your role as an editor and founder of this new journal, or relatively new journal, Folio, Journal of African Architecture. Leslie, to ask you very directly, can and must architecture be decolonialized?
You know, I've often said, and it's become, I think, a little bit of a cliche, but, you know, decolonizing architecture is a gift. You know, to take apart inherited canon and to make space for other ways of seeing and understanding and being in the world, for me, is an addition to canon. It's not a replacement. It's something that adds. It deepens or it matures our understanding. So do I think it's required? Absolutely, because I think that that's what knowledge is about. It's about bringing new insights into the world. And for me, the decolonizing project, I see it, I think, very much in terms of fulfilling the mandate, actually, of what it means to look at knowledge. And I mean, I remember reading somewhere, Achille Mbembe said very, very beautifully that, you know, human history really is about the future. You know, we understand the past in order to make something of the future. And I suppose I see it in those terms, to understand the colonial project in its entirety is actually a profoundly optimistic act.
Yeah, I think one could probably say that history is a construction in the present and in the perspective of the future. It seems somehow as if these new narratives, but also syllabi, because these are really things that transform into academic knowledge and teaching. It seems as if transnational, transgeographical perspectives can or will provide certain alternatives to architectural history that are, to a large extent, very Eurocentric, often organized by nation-based or style-based categories such as Italian, French, or Renaissance?
I mean, it's a really interesting question. I think, you know, the minute you, even as a student, if you begin to suspect that you're not being given the full picture, which was certainly my experience as a student, I thought, well, the canon that I'm receiving is being presented to me as if it's universal, but instinctively, experientially, I know it is not universal. I know that I don't come from a tradition that understands the world in exactly that way. So the minute you become suspect, then everything is suspect. And so for me, it's not just the curriculum that has to be reimagined. It's all of the infrastructure around the kind of dissemination and production of knowledge. Confidence is the right word. The confidence to question almost everything is an incredibly exhilarating place to be.
Was this also a situation that you witnessed and confronted when you started as a founding director at the Graduate School of Architecture in Johannesburg?
Yeah, and I mean, I always say that, you know, there are a couple of things that happened. I mean, one was that there was an existing Master of Architecture program at the university. But when the protests happened, suddenly a kind of political space opened up, which I think would have been very hard to find almost anywhere else. And the political space opened up very, very quickly. And so there was a kind of urgency about putting something in place that would at least begin to address those really serious questions of canon. And right at that moment, it became clear that we would have the opportunity not only to put a curriculum in place, but actually to put an institution in place, which is where, I mean, that was essentially how the Graduate School was formed. And in a way, I don't know that that school could have happened anywhere else in any other moment. And I know now, you know, after the experience in New York, how difficult it is to push against something where the problem or the reason for pushing isn't fully understood. I think in South Africa in that time, it was absolutely clear that something new was required.
So in a way, the protests that happened at the time in South Africa triggered, to a certain extent, these kind of developments in the academic world?
Yeah, and they also triggered, I'd use that word again, they triggered the confidence to say, okay, we could do something fairly serious, fairly large scale and fairly immediate. You know, I mean, I've been interested in questions of race for, what is it now, 30 years. And you know, for most of that experience, it was about tinkering at the edges of things, you know, changing a course on history here or, you know, maybe one project there. It was very, very peripheral. And suddenly in this moment, I think it was partly to do with the political pressure of decolonize. Suddenly, okay, the all bets are off. If you want to bring something, bring it. And that was quite unique. I haven't seen that appetite elsewhere.
And how can we imagine what you are up to in Accra? Because it seems as if this is a similar but yet totally different adventure, because it seems as if you start something really more or less from scratch.
Yeah, and I mean, it is really different. I mean, you know, South Africa, you know, the question of race operates in a very different way to the way it operates across the rest of Africa, particularly in West Africa. And, you know, the decolonizing project is again understood differently there. And I've spent most of my adult academic life outside Africa, certainly outside West Africa. So for me, this is a real opportunity to try and take some of these methodologies, this way of thinking, the kind of explorative, open-ended nature of what I've been doing in South Africa, in the United States, in Europe, and to bring it back to a very, very different context and to see, you know, what are the possibilities here? And it's why I partly decided not to call it a school, because I think actually it should be more than a school in terms of the kind of pedagogy of a place. And it's one of the things that was, for me, amazing about the GSA in Johannesburg was that, yes, there was teaching going on, but there was also exhibitions, there were events, there were discussions, there were podcasts, there were film series, there was a whole series of things kind of around the school that was really the platform for the expression of these new ideas. And that aspect is something I'm really looking forward to trying to put in place in Accra.
It's, I think in that respect, regarding the openness that you described in terms of format, in terms of thinking, in terms of everything that will happen there, the idea of experimentation as such, I think that's one thing. The other is that I read somewhere that you are planning also degrees. And so there's even a reference apparently to the RIBA system. So that it's interesting that it's not an experiment per se or just in a particular space or in a site-specific sense, but there is clearly a link to certain standards and formats that are international and even in that case, there's even a direct reference the colonial motherland.
No, absolutely. I mean, you know, in some senses, I really am both historically and linguistically and all the rest of it. I really am quite hybrid. You know, I've spent half of my life outside Africa, half of it inside. And in some ways, I like that hybrid position where you create a space in which you understand that you're seeking something new, but that newness is always made up of things that you already know. So there's a kind of dialogue all the time between what's existing and what's coming and what's been. And you know, one of the things I found really productive about both the GSA, which I didn't find in New York, was that if you enter into something in quite a porous way, in other words, that you're allowing influences in at the same time you're creating new paradigms, that hybridity is often a much richer, it's a stronger, it's a much more robust product, in inverted commas, or even process. So for me, this really is about a give and take, a here and there, a both and, rather than an entirely new construct. And it's not to say that you can invent everything simultaneously in one go. I think that's a fallacy. So for me, it's about bringing things that I know, bringing systems that were supportive of my efforts. I mean, one of the things I say all the time about being a student at the Bartlett in the 90s was that it was a very, very confident institution, which allowed it to be very generous. So it meant that you could bring something like an interest and obsession in race, and it would find space because it didn't threaten the institution. I found the opposite in many other institutions that I went to teach at, that the institution itself was quite insecure, and it was therefore much more likely to reject anything that it saw as a threat. And I guess for the AFI, the principle I would like to start with is one of generosity, not animosity, which I think is, for me, is a really important distinction.
Yeah, it's crucial for, I think, also to somehow construct a space where you were students, but everybody can feel that freedom and confidence to experiment in a way.
In Johannesburg, where I think it was probably about the second or the third year, where I knew, okay, this way of thinking is really, it's going to hold, it will last, was when we found Black students who were able to draw on something that was specific to their own, let's say, cultural histories and experiences, but were able to offer it as something for everyone. So suddenly the playing field, I keep using this phrase, the playing field was level. And it took a while to get to that point, both from the point of view of the instructor, the teachers, but also from the point of the students. And as soon as it was leveled on their own terms, suddenly a whole new dialogue opened up. And that, I think, is for me, is the goal.
I always thought that, I think it was part of a conversation with David Adjaye, who apparently is also involved in that new institution. We once said, well, the next big school will come from the global south or from another hemisphere. And so it might be, I'm sure it will be that school or close to that one. But yeah. I think I think many people sense a kind of urgency that something new will not, or there's a certain feeling that the new things will not come from the big schools that we know, that we refer to these days. It's a hope, but it's probably not, as you said, not one or the other. There will be strong links between these different systems because I think already at the time of the Bauhaus, one somehow totally underestimates to what extent there was a very vivid exchange between these people. It was already a communication system.
Totally. And I mean, now you look at the kind of context we're in, and yes, you know, Zoom has sort of changed things in some ways, but actually the truth of the matter is we're all networked. You know, we're all hybrid in a sense. We're all both here and there and elsewhere. And I think that nature of exchange is also a real hallmark of the, you know, whatever era it is that we're moving into, but also particularly for Africa. And, you know, when I go home to Accra, I mean, I'm struck over and over again by these two systems of cosmopolitanism that are going on. One is the kind of global north, global south cosmopolitanism, which, you know, Accra is as cosmopolitan as almost anywhere. But the other is an internal kind of Pan-African cosmopolitanism. And they're two slightly different things. And that dynamic of these two sort of overlapping circles of influence, of history, of confidence is really exhilarating.
And talking about architecture and institutional practice as communication, I think another interesting project of yours is Folio, the Journal of African Architecture, which I think the whole system of magazines, whether print or online, is of course an incredibly important one in our field.
I mean, it's kind of funny in a way, but you know, I was at a heads of school meeting, the heads of South African schools of architecture meeting in Bloemfontein or somewhere, maybe 2015 or something, I don't remember, 2016, and it was one of those conversations where everybody was complaining, you know, there aren't any enough journals, you know, we don't have access and blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, how difficult can it possibly be to make a journal? And I think most people at the meeting just assumed, oh, you know, well, you know, there she opens a big mouth again. But I went away thinking, well, I mean, literally, how difficult could it possibly be? And, you know, getting the kind of template together was actually not difficult. You know, I'd done white papers, black marks, you know, I actually started that when I was still a student. So I thought, well, you know, take the same kind of approach. You put out a call for papers, but the Graham Foundation got on board very, very quickly, very early. I found a fantastic graphic designer who I'm still working with. And, you know, using kind of modern means of communication, you know, you put out a call. I think we put out calls on eFlux, you know, people just started sending material in. And, you know, we decided quite early on, I got an editorial board together, that not everything would need to be peer reviewed, you know, double blind peer reviewed in the kind of conventional sense. But this was more about providing a really high quality platform. So we're now into the third edition, and actually having a digital presence allows us to use different kind of medium. So we print a limited number and send it out to, you know, to institutions, the Tate, the AA Bookshop, the RABA, and so on. But the digital version is the one that's really kind of catching on within Africa. And it allows us to use film, to use multimedia in ways that I think is really interesting.
Now, to me, these, whether it's a magazine or a school, it seems to me also be part of a process that, I don't know how to describe it, but it's almost as if today's discussion is very much led also by a search or struggles for recognition. Which I think there's a clear relation to perception, yeah, that to make things visible, to debate them. But I think it's always, or the interesting things are connected to discussions of recognition, which has a kind of emancipatory impetus to a certain extent. So it's seeing plus questions of rights, etc., which I think is quite fascinating these days.
Absolutely. I mean, if there's one thing I've learned is that, you know, you put something out into the world and you have zero control over it. You know, what happens to it, how it is received, how it's critiqued, you have no idea. But in some ways, if you don't put it out there, you never get that perspective on it. And, you know, so much of what I think has gone on in Africa has gone on not only unseen by the rest of the world, it's also gone on unseen by us. So those opportunities that we have had to put something out and to have not just the recognition, but the critique, because the critique in the end is the thing that makes it grow, that's been very limited. And when I first arrived in South Africa, it was very strange to me that I couldn't find a culture of critique. And, you know, I think this is something that we will have to build quite carefully in Accra again. And it's partly because the circle is quite small, it's quite personalized. So, you know, if you say something about somebody's work, chances are you'll be sitting at a dinner party with them the next week and then everybody takes it personally. And so there isn't a sense that you can put work out there to be tested. And I think part of what the AFI will take on board is this, the putting out of the tools of critique, which for me, you know, critique is it's the medium that we swim in.
Yeah, Leslie, thank you very much. I take from this that this is just the beginning, and we definitely need more futures institutes. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Leslie.
Take care. Bye-bye.